One quick announcement. This Friday night, I've got plans for you guys, everyone here, men and women. We've got our first men's and women's night out this Friday. That's right. They're gonna be really fun. I'm really excited about them this year. Signups are live. grow.hope.edu. Just hit up that website, sign up, and we'll see you there on Friday night. I see a lot of these poll jerseys around campus right about now. And every time I see them, I'm like, wait, didn't you wear that yesterday? And I see their bloodied hands, and I'm like really confused and really sort of anxious to see what this is all about on Saturday. Our scripture this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 38 through 42. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, don't resist an evildoer. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn your other also. If someone wants to sue you for your coat, give them your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. This is the word of the Lord. We've been making our way through the Sermon on the Mount through a thick description of what it looks like when heaven comes down to earth. Are you caught up in it yet? And what we've uncovered so far is that when heaven comes down to earth, we won't be plagued by brokenness. We'll be a people marked by reconciliation. A people marked by self-giving love, by faithfulness, by truth-telling and integrity. And this morning we come to a description of a people marked by overwhelming grace. The question that lies behind this description, the question that this description answers is this: how should we react when we are wronged? How should we react when we are insulted or offended? What is our response? So already for Jesus' audience here, the disciples with whom he's talking eyeball to eyeball, they already knew that they should show restraint when they're insulted. Don't go crazy, their teacher said. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Keep it even, keep it fair. But in true Jesus fashion, he takes this idea and radicalizes it. He says, don't keep it fair. This is not a community that's characterized by fairness. Fairness is something that we're all born to understand as common sense. Ask any group of kids who's waiting for a birthday cake to be divided. She got more than me. That's not fair. Or ask anyone over in the line at LJ's. You want to make sure you're in the right spot and you're not cutting anyone off and you're not being cut off, right? We want to keep it fair. We want to make sure that it makes sense. But what Jesus is saying to his disciples here is on this mountain, it's not about fairness. It doesn't make sense. In the same way that it doesn't make sense to lift up the outcasts of society, the downtrodden, those that are poor, those that mourn, those that are hungry. It doesn't make sense that they should be important to us, that they should be called blessed. In the same way that it doesn't make sense to reconcile with people that we don't get along with or who are different from us. That's not comfortable. In the same way that it doesn't make sense to take such drastic measures to make this a place of love and not lust. To make this a place of faithfulness and not selfishness, a place of honesty and not fakeness. You see, we reflect this non-common sense wisdom that Jesus is describing in these chapters, not because it makes sense, not because it's how we get to heaven, not because it makes me happy or makes you feel better about yourself. We reflect this non-common sense wisdom. We develop these habits of faithfulness for the sake of the world. We are called to be the light of the world so that the world can get some idea of what God is like. Jesus knew that he wouldn't be here forever. So he looked into the hearts of his followers and he said, "You've got to be me. You are my body, the body of Christ. You, church, together are my body. Come together, work together, pray together. Give the world some idea of who I am, of what God is like, so that when people walk into this chapel, they've got some idea of what God is like. So that when people hang out with you on the weekends, they've got some idea of what God is like." That's what Jesus is calling us to in all of this. Not a chasing after rules, a chasing after a vision for a community that reflects God to a world that so desperately needs it. And so with this passage in particular, Jesus gives us three little pictures, sort of like a comic strip with three little boxes that each illustrate something important about living into and living out of God's generous grace. The first box: when anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. Now, Jesus here is assuming that most of us are right-handed. Sorry, lefties. And I thought about trying to bring up Trig or Paul to help me demonstrate this before you all, but I decided against that. If I'm going to hit somebody on the right cheek and I'm right-handed, that means I've got to smack them with the back of my hand. And being smacked with the back of the hand isn't so much about a physical attack as it is about an insult. And actually, according to rabbinic law, a backhanded slap was twice as insulting as a slap with the front of the hand. The backhanded slap usually signified a well-thought-out insult, and it meant that you were scorned as inferior, inconsequential, meant that you were thought of as a nobody. So what does Jesus say our response should be when somebody says we're a nobody? When anyone strikes you on the right cheek, when anyone calls you inferior or insults you, don't get back at them, Jesus says. Turn the other cheek also. The second box: when anyone sues you for your coat, give your cloak as well. Now, when I hear this, my first question is, why is someone suing you for your coat? Why not suing you for money? I wonder if this person in court is being sued by somebody who's maybe really powerful and wealthy. And I wonder if maybe that person owes money that they don't have. And so I wonder if they're being sued for something else of value, like their coat. Jesus' suggested response is sort of embarrassing, given that most people in this time only wore two articles of clothing, their coat and their cloak. Again, I'll spare you a staff member coming up to demonstrate. But Jesus says, don't retaliate. Don't try to win or get even. Instead, show them the impoverished nakedness in which they send you. When anyone sues you for your coat, give them your cloak as well. Third box: when anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. When Romans were in charge at this point, by law, soldiers had the right to ask any civilian to carry their equipment 1 mile. No questions, no excuses. Everyone had to do it, and everyone hated it. But by law, they were also pretty strict about saying, keep it to just 1 mile. And so when Jesus encourages his disciples with this, he's telling them, shake things up. Don't get mad or plot revenge at this soldier. Surprise him. Reflect your generous God, the generous grace of your God, and go a second mile. When anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Jesus goes on from there to be even more dramatic when he says, give to everyone, not just some people, give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. And in all of these cases, Jesus is trying to get us to develop our imaginations, to help us imagine in our own context how we might reflect God's generous grace, even when it doesn't seem fair, even in the face of pressure or when we're provoked, even in the face of our own anger or frustration. We reflect this generosity not because it makes sense. We reflect it because in it we reflect God. Don't keep it even. Don't keep it fair. This community isn't characterized by fairness. And praise God, because if it were, you and I would both be in a lot of trouble. It is by grace that we have been saved through faith, nothing of our own doing, a sweet gift of God. And so we are called to show this gift of grace to those around you. The question I want to leave you with this morning, who in our community knows how to do this well? Who in our past knows how to do this well? Who reflects this sort of generosity and confidence and surprises us with grace? We need to find those people. We need to listen and learn from them and let their stories spark our Christian imaginations in the same way that Jesus' verses do. Let's pray. God, the grace you show us by calling us into your family, even though we mess up every day, the grace you show us is so beautifully overwhelming. Thank you for making this place not about fairness, but about grace. Give us the courage to reflect this grace to those around us. God, we pray this in your name. Amen.